Welcome to My Millennial Career. My name is Shelley Johnson. I'm an HR consultant.
Hey, Shell. Emily Bowen here, and I work in recruitment and customer experience.
So you've seen a job that you really want, and the advertisement says you need 1 to 2 years experience and you don't have any. Today on the show, we're answering the question, do you need experience to get experience? Do you have to have experience to get experience?
We hear this all the time, right? People just pulling their hair out, going, but how am I meant to break into that job, that industry? How am I meant to start my career when I can't start my career without starting my career?
That's it. It's a really hard place to be when you want to kind of get into something new maybe, or you're finishing your study, wherever you're at, and you're trying to land the job, and every single job advertisement seems to say 1 to 3 years experience.
Or every time you do get to that interview stage and they call you up afterwards and they say, unfortunately, it's not you, it comes with somebody else had more experience.
Yeah, that's it.
But good news, we're here to tell you that while you do need experience, it doesn't have to look like what you think, and it's not as out of reach as you feel.
Yeah, that's right. We have 4 strategies because we want to get really practical today and help you to get the experience you need to land that job. That's our main game. We love hearing when our listeners have messaged us on Insta or emailed us and said, I listened to the episode and I got the job. And so that's what we want to get out of today.
Yeah, like believe it is true, believe it's possible. Like everything good in life, it comes with some hard work. But we've got some success stories to share along the way, and we're confident that if you put these 4 things into practice, you will have kickstarted that career or you will have restarted that career in no time.
So, Em, number one, what's your first thing that listeners can do to get experience?
So, for me, I like to start by framing up this as the long game. Now, this might mean that early on, you're feeling like you're doing things, in inverted commas, for free. Maybe there's no paycheck attached to it, or maybe there's a smaller paycheck than you would like. But if you're doing those things early on that nobody else is, or that less people are, then I promise you it will pay off over time and you will get the gains. So, for example, in many industries, whether it be an apprenticeship-based industry or a university qual-based industry, you're going to find that near 100% of people that are trying to get that job actually have that piece of paper that says they've done their time. So yeah, they've done that, you know, 3, 4, 5 years in that apprenticeship or at university. And so that doesn't actually make you any different. But what you've also got during that time, particularly if we take that university qual example, so you've got that opportunity. Let's say you're studying nursing. While you're studying, yeah, there are some pracs that you do while you're at uni, and the uni facilitates those. Again, that doesn't differentiate you. At the end of that period, you're going to be the same as everybody else, unless you also take the opportunity to find your own work experience or find a paid position in something that is remotely related to that first graduate job that you're targeting at the end of your degree. I know, Shell, you've got a really good example of this from somebody that you know, and I'd love for you to sort of share it. But basically what I'm saying here in a nutshell is, like, what can you do that means that it steps you ahead of the game and that takes you from that 100% of the cohort that you're competing against to maybe being in that top 10, 20% where when you finish that degree or you finish that apprenticeship, you're much more employable, because while you might have done your time for free, or you might have done it earning pennies at that point of that getting that graduate job, you will end up earning more and it will well and truly make up for it.
Yeah, that's great. And it is a long game. And so sometimes there are sacrifices we make along the way. The second point is get creative about finding your experience. So I think one of the challenges we see when we're recruiting is people come in and they think experience is only in kind of formal employment in that specific job. So it's like, I want to get into software development. I can only do that if I'm actually working in a maybe junior developer role.
Yeah, so you're looking for that. My resume needs to say that I've had that job for 2 years and I've done these duties that are from my position description and my employer was this person.
Yeah,
it's
that's
not
right.
true though, right?
No, so you don't need to it's kind of thinking outside the box. So don't think about maybe the job description or as formal employment arrangement. Think about it in more flexible and creative terms. So my sister actually has this, her career story is so epic to me. Like, I think she's the classic example of this, where she'd worked in hospitality for a few years and she worked for one particular cafe, had a number of stores, and she just had an interest in social media, just quite naturally good at it, and offered as part of her role to just manage their social media. She just kind of jumped in, didn't expect a kind of pay change or anything, just said, I'll do it maybe a day a week or over the course of the week for a couple of hours a day and manage the social media and you can just pay me my normal barista rate.
Why did she do it? Like, just side note for 1 second, do you feel like she...
Well, I think she was just interested in that kind of, it was quite a number of years ago now, and she was just really interested in that industry.
So good.
And so she just took a step out, offered to do it for the business, saw a need. She also liked that whole learning about social media, I guess, in those early days when it was kind of becoming more of a thing. And so she jumped in, did it for like not good money really. Built up the following from 2,000 to 20,000 followers on the Insta account that she was managing and realized that she was just good at it.
I wonder if like that payback for her, while the money was the same as if she was making coffees, it was actually just the joy or like the enjoyment at work, and that it gave her like an extra component to her role working in hospitality where she was like, I actually enjoy going to work a little bit more and that's worth it.
Yeah. And I'm learning, I'm growing, and it's something I'm more interested in long term than being in hospitality. And so what that meant over the course of the next, you know, 5 or so years, she then went from managing that as part of her job as a barista to running what's now her really successful marketing consulting kind of agency. And so
amazing.
For me, I like look at that and think that is so epic that she took a step. She saw a need in the business, went, I can do that kind of just as an add-on to my job. It'll help the business and it'll help me.
Yep. The it'll help me thing is so key. And whether we're talking about point one, play the long game, point two, get creative about finding experience early in your career, not all payback is monetary.
Yes.
So much of it comes, it's value that you get that you might cash in later, or it might be non-monetary, but it builds your career.
That's right. And then they become a really part of her career story. And we're going to get to that in a minute. But for me, that is such a classic example. So if you're, and small business is a great place to do it, because I think we do get rigid about job titles and job experience when we're in a bigger organization. But when if you're in a small business environment, or you know a small business owner who might need a bit of help, and you could do it as a little side hustle, maybe you get paid in cases of beer or whatever, have a go there and actually get that experience informally. That will serve your resume well.
Totally.
Hey, thanks for listening. We love learning how to do all things well, which is why we've created a bunch of different podcasts. So go and check out My Millennial Money, My Millennial Money Express, My Millennial Property, My Millennial Health, My Millennial Business, and Gen Z Money. Find these wherever you're listening to this podcast.
Number three, Shell, you are on a roll. Off you go. What's number three for us?
Well, I feel like I've got all the fam stories today. So number three is find momentum in the job market.
Okay. And what do you mean by that? I'm like looking at you going, please explain.
Please explain, because it does sound boring. So my brother's girlfriend.
Yep. Following.
Her name's Sarah. She is amazing. And she was chatting to me the other week about, she's speaking of nursing. So she is in her last year of nursing at study.
This is the example I was hoping you would share.
And she was chatting to me about, she wants to land a grad role when she finishes at the end of this year. And so what should she be doing to kind of get experience? Because she's like, I want to stand out and it's really competitive. So we started chatting about, okay, well, how do you get an assistant in nursing role while you're studying? And she was kind of looking at hospitals, and we started thinking, well, no, let's look at where the momentum is in terms of job vacancies. Start to look at, it might not be the job that you really want, but let's find assistant in nursing positions in areas that are kind of booming. And for her, that's in aged care, where there are more vacancies for AINs or assistant nursing kind of jobs, and also disability and community services. So how do you actually look at the job market and go, if I need experience, it might not be my dream place to be working, but it's going to get me maybe 1 year's edge on someone else.
Yep.
How do I find that opportunity?
And 1 year's edge, either when you're starting your career or you're changing careers, like as a percentage of the whole, that's huge.
That's right.
It's a lot of time, a lot of experience, which is the topic of today. And for the economists out there, it's this idea of, well, what are those, where's the momentum? It's supply and demand. So if you've got a situation where in that community services, that disability support, that aged care space, the supply of skilled workers cannot keep up with the demand, then that employer is going to be more likely to broaden the scope of what they're willing to accept in a candidate or in an employee and say, do you know what? We will train you on the job because we just need arms, legs, a heartbeat and a decent, you know, head on your shoulders, and we can do the rest with you.
That's right. And so having that in mind and going, you know what, 1 year, it might not be that. It might be 3 months, whatever it is. Find those spots. You can do your own research, Google where job vacancies are at, and that's your own research of what's happening in the job market.
I've even known people, I'm just trying to think, I don't know if I'll come up with something on the spot, but it's just come to me. There are some industries as well. Oh, do you know a good one? I know a lot of people who might be at university for many years studying, say, nutrition or dietetics, but what they'll do early on is a short course to get their PT certificate. And that means that they can work as a PT while they're studying to become a dietitian. Or another one is physios. Like my coach at my gym, he works as a PT, but he's actually also doing a near finished his master's in physio. So that means that by the time he goes to start his career job, which is a physio job, he has spent 5 years or thereabouts working with moving bodies and injuries and people who are active.
Yeah, that's it. And if you think about what your kind of long game is, we go back to the start, and that's, if you think about it as a bullseye on a dartboard, that's what you're aiming for. We'll start off a bit of the peripheral around that. What is it? PT might be the next kind of section out on that dartboard. And so looking at what are the things in the sphere that I'm aiming for that I can be doing now.
And when that physio job comes up, or that new dietitian or nutritionist job comes up, you are so much more competitive as a entry-level applicant if you've got that PT experience that the next person doesn't have.
Yeah, totally.
All right, we'll bring it home with one more. So number four, our tip number four, this one's pretty simple. It's ask for a referee. Yeah. So for all this experience, this creativity, these, you know, moments of what feels like slavery or playing the long game, or finding that momentum in the job market to get something that's on the target but not necessarily the bullseye, it's worth so much more over time if you can seal the deal in a referee, have someone vouch for you. So I'd really encourage you when it comes time to move on. And I'd love to think that you could be having an open conversation that says, this is not my forever. I'm really loving my time here. I'll give you everything. But when I finish my degree or when I finish my apprenticeship and it is time for me to move on, would you please be a referee for me? Just get that person's permission first and take that with you. It will pay dividends.
100%. Love it, Em. I really would love if out of this episode, if you have a story where you are able to use these four strategies and land the job, let us know, because this is seriously what, like, we get so pumped when we hear these stories, and we've had a few come through recently of people listening to interview episodes and whatnot. But make sure you let us know, because this is why we do the podcast.
Yeah, actually, it's a good point. This will keep fueling us, and otherwise we can feel like we're just sitting here talking to ourselves sometimes. So getting that feedback loop and hearing what's worked, or even if you've tried something different, if you've got another tip, please do share. The Facebook group is a great place, because then lots and lots of other people can not only celebrate your win, but also borrow your good ideas and give it a crack themselves.
That's it. So, Em, do you want to recap what our four strategies are just to close us out?
Absolutely. So the first thing we want you to do is plan the long game. So make sure that your perspective is not thinking about today, it's thinking about tomorrow. Get creative when you're finding experience. What else can you be doing? Maybe think outside the box a little bit. Find momentum in the job market. So who is willing to have you for all that you offer right now? Ride that wave. And then finally seal the deal by getting a referee that you can take with you and use time and time again.
So to answer the question, you do need experience to get experience, but it's not always what you think.
And it's so achievable. You can do it.
Love it. Thanks for hanging out, Em. Always good to chat with you.
Yeah, likewise, Shell. Thank you. And we will talk to everybody again soon.
If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, we would love if you could subscribe and give us a 5-star rating and review if you like the show. See you next time.
See ya.
We acknowledge the Darkin Young people, traditional custodians of the land on which our studio sits, and pay respect to their elders, past and present. We extend that respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples who may listen to our podcast.
Hey, thanks for listening. We love learning how to do all things well, which is why we've created a bunch of different podcasts. So go and check out My Millennial Money, My Millennial Money Express, My Millennial Property, My Millennial Health, My Millennial Business, and Gen Z Money. Find these wherever you're listening to this podcast.